Welcome to Sales Burrito. I'm your host, Enrique Barreto. It is 2021. It is the year of making change. Positive change, if you may add. But if there's one thing that I want you, the awesome sales engineer, to know is if you want change, you have to go for it. So on this episode of Sales Burrito, I'm going to teach you what one thing it is to go for it when you're looking for a new position or where you're aspiring to make a change. Welcome to Sales Burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs. With your host, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back, everybody. Coming to you live from the Arctic North, or what we call Tampa, Florida today.
Arctic North.
Yeah,
it's like, hold on, it's 48.
It I know, 48. I had to check the temperature this morning. I was like, wow, I'm going to get some coffee. But yeah, no, 2021 off to a great start. You know, we got a lot of good feedback for our year in review episode last week. We appreciate everybody giving us feedback and tuning in and subscribing. We're off kicking off here season two. And what better way to kick off season two is talking about change. And one of the changes that are happening, I guess, in everybody's life right now in the sales engineering world is, do I stay or do I go? Do I take that promotion? Do I take that new job? And you know, one of the things that we kind of see across the board here is, you know, people reaching out saying, you know, How do I get that next job? What do I need to do? And, you know, Rika just went through a new job change. Thought it was a pretty timely episode to take on. So that's our topic for today.
No, it's awesome. So, you know, I can tell you that, and I hate to start in a negative way, right? But, you know, it is so important for me that I talk about this with our listeners so that they don't fall in the pitfall of having to aspire to do something different and not getting it because you're missing a very small detail. Well, it's a small detail, but it isn't a small detail. It's a small part of what you do to aspire to do something new. But if you're not doing it, the chances of you getting to that point are extremely hard. So I'll, you know, let me start it like this. You know, obviously I started a new job with my new company. One of the things that I'm doing, it's no mystery, is building the best sales engineer team in the entire world. That's my aspiration. Doesn't mean that I know everything that it is to know about being a sales engineer, but because I surround myself with people that are smarter than me, it just happens, organically happens. Your stronger team develops that. So I probably interviewed in the past 2 weeks about 20 or 30 sales engineers. And I can tell you that none of them have asked for one thing. When I asked them, what would you like to know about the position, or what questions do you have to me? Do you care to guess what that one thing is that if you don't ask it, basically puts a ding when I'm interviewing you as a sales engineer?
Well, you know, if I'm in your shoes and I'm thinking about it from my side of the world and haven't been in your shoes, it's, you know, if you're looking for a sales engineer and they really want the job and they're the right candidate for the job, you know, they should be asking for the job. And
oh my God. Yeah.
And anybody who doesn't go for the close is probably not, you know, thinking in the mindset of, you know, selling the most valued product they have, and that's themselves.
Dave, you don't know how disappointing it is to see an awesome interview where the sales engineer is talking about their accolades. They're using empirical data, you know, not just here's what I've done or here's what I work, but metrics that mean something, you know, and they're building me up as a, you know, as a recruiting manager, right? Because I'm looking to see if this person's DNA is going to fit. And when I ask them, After I ask all the questions about creativity, behavior analysis, technical prowess, all that stuff, when I give them the opportunity to say, what questions do you have for me? None of them are saying, There's two questions that I typically ask. None of them are saying, based on our interview or based on our time, do you think that I'm qualified to actually do the job? That's question number one. Question number two, if I say, yes, you're qualified, is there anything that stops you from me getting into your team, right? Or, can you give me the opportunity of joining your team and be able to be with you to actually elevate your sales engineering team to the next level? And if you're not asking those questions, quite frankly, I don't think that you're salesy. You got to ask for it, right? And I mean, you tell me, Dave, you've interviewed more people than me. So you tell me, am I crazy in thinking this way?
You're not. I mean, I think it comes down to, I put candidates in three buckets, right? There's the fresh green and new candidate, right? Where they probably don't know to ask the question because this is really their first cycle. And you have to identify that that's that kind of candidate. But if you're looking for that, then you're looking for the right, ingredients. You're going to have that high potential person that you can bring in and grow. But if they're seasoned and this is not their first couple times around the block, then yeah, I expect, the sales engineer to be going for the close, right? I mean, everybody sells in every organization. I don't care really what your title is. And, if you're not invested in your product, and the product is you in this case, and you're willing to sell and try to go for the close on yourself, what are you going to do when you're trying to sell my product, right? Now, granted, some people just are different personality types, introverts, where they're not going to be that open and out. So sometimes I think as a good interviewer, you may have to draw the question out, but you can only lead a horse to water. You can't force it to drink, right? So, there are some points where, it's just got to be a decision that, if they can't get to the close, there's a lot of people in sales that get to the 99th, percentile or the 1 yard line, as they say, but can't get that ball over the goal line. And if you're going for a high energy closing team, you got to go for the winners. You got to get for the people who can punch it in the end zone and score.
Well, it's interesting, right? So one of my experiences that I did at my current job as I was interviewing for my current job is, I interviewed with the VP of sales, which is my, my partner in crime currently today. I interview with the recruiter. I interview with the senior VP of engineering, product management. I interview with the CEO of the company. And I also interview with our CMO. And in every one of those interviews, and there were about eight of them when I start counting them, right? Every one of them, I went for the close in the last 5 minutes of it. And then after I closed it, I followed up with an email and showing my interest. And then after that email, I kept seeding them. Meaning, what I mean by seeding is I kept them warm. I kept showing different things. I show them that I was able to utilize the product that I'm currently selling today without no knowledge of using the product. So I did some screenshots and I did some different things that captivated them. Now, from their side, how crazy it is that they did not give me any type of feedback they did not reply to me back saying, oh, wow, this is great. This is awesome. I did it anyway because I knew that I wanted to excel above and beyond what others have been doing. And the more I kept them warm, the more they saw this guy really wants this job. This guy is truly passionate about this job. We need to go with this guy. And this guy is yours truly, Enrique. So
yeah, and I think it's a great story. I mean, it's all about breaking the mold too. I mean, if you think about the history of interviewing and what you've been taught in schools and these programs that get thrown out of people on the ads, you read on LinkedIn, it's that same cookie cutter. Everybody has that same cookie cutter, right? They write their new personalized intro letter and they send off their new fancy formatted resume and they go through the motions and then they send that, form email at the end and they just kind of expect the process to work, right? You broke the mold. That's the thing I think someone should take away from this is that, you got to stand out. I mean, yes, the sales engineering market is a hot market. There is, more demand than there is supply. But if you wanted that top tier position, you want that, that next role that's going to pay you that top dollar, you have to be special, right? I mean, you have to be that polished diamond. And, I think one of the things you showed is that, you're a cut above the rest and, you're not just, another one in the hopper, so to speak. And, I think people need to understand that, you got to stand out somehow. And if you're just going through the interview process and going through the standard HR review process, you know, you're just going to be another number in the hopper. And, you know, maybe you write the right keywords on the resume to get pulled out when they were scanning the documents in and match BASS. But, you know, doing those kind of interesting things, I think, is important. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, obviously you're now in this organization, so you can help change the dynamic. But I fully believe that, you know, you have to give feedback to candidates, whether it's good feedback, bad feedback. You know, no one has a chance to improve or, you know, make the next journey in their career, you know, without critical feedback. So, you know, if they flub the interview, you know, be brutally honest with them. I mean, it's like, you know, you're not the right fit at this time. Although if you want to be in this career, here's what I would do, and, you know, offer to be kind of a resource and help them, you know, improve and grow on their career. I've, you know, always felt, you know, pride in the fact that if I didn't hire somebody, I'd at least give them honest feedback on why. And, you know, the one thing I hate more than anything is when you interview with something and it's just crickets on both sides, you know, whether you're a candidate fit or not. You know, I understand everybody has to keep certain candidates hot and warm in the queue when there's interest in the candidate, but not necessarily the position's ready there yet for them. But, you know, it's one of the things about our industry I wish we would change. You know, we got to be a little bit more transparent in the process on both sides of the table.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that one of the things that I do a lot is, you know, if I have to pass on a candidate, I do follow up with that candidate and I do say, hey, this is what, and you know, I'm not giving, it's not that I'm giving you a virtual hug or that I am sorry that I did this. It's, you know, business is business, but ultimately if I'm able to help you in showing you the reasons why I was thinking that way or why I pass you as a sales engineer, you know what? IT is such a small industry, man. Eventually I'm going to be connecting with that individual. And my aspiration is that individual said, you know what you said helped me. It helped me in other things. And now I've moved on and I'm doing different things. It's about building that community for sure. Now, Dave, I want to ask you a question. Something that you said earlier when we started our podcast is, why do you think people don't ask for the job? I know that you mentioned something about, you know, is it an introvert thing? Is it an extrovert thing? Is it, you know, what do you think people don't have that mentality of going for, you know, going for the final attack and saying, this is mine, right?
You know, part of it's human nature, right? Because the answer could be no, and people don't like to hear no. Right? And so it's that fear of hearing no or the rejection side of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, whether you get rejected in that first interview, and, you know, obviously if you're a good salesperson, no one takes the first no, you know, that's just when the selling starts. But, you know, if it truly is a no, you better know earlier than later, because you're going to spend the same amount of cycles trying to get a job that you're probably never going to get when you could, you know, fast fail, right? Be agile about it and go look for another job that's going to be a better fit for you and you can get into. So, you know, people need to get a little bit of thicker skin and get over the fear of rejection. And, you know, honestly, if you're trying to get a sales engineering role and getting into sales, you know, rejection just comes with the territory. And, you know, if it's the first way you're going to experience it, you know, maybe it's a little hard to hear that first time, but to me, that's why I think people don't go for it, right? It's that fear. But, you know, once they've done it once and they've seen the success of it, I guarantee, you know, it just becomes a tool in their toolbox. And, you know, there is times too where it's not right to ask for the job. You've gone through the interview process. It's not a right fit, you know, and you as a candidate have the same right to fail fast out of the interview and, you know, thank the interviewer for their time, you know, be gracious about it and, you know, be transparent saying, you know, this is probably not the right fit for me, or, you know, what you're looking for is not where I want to take my career, and, you know, be graceful about it, part ways and, you know, maybe parlay it into another role into the organization if you like the company, but it's not the right fit for that current role. What other things do you have open? You know, that's the other thing about the interview too. You know, interview should not be one-way conversations. And, you know, more and more times I see, you know, these short answers that come back from a candidate. And, you know, I think the best interviewers that you can get are get the candidate to start speaking about themselves and get the information flow coming from the candidate. But, you know, I agree with you when that last part comes up and say, hey, do you have any questions for me? And people like, no, it sounds all good. You know,
you can't ask
a question in an interview, whether you're asking for the clothes or asking, you know, what else you need to know about me to know if I'm a good fit or, you know, if I'm a good fit, offer me the job, whatever it may be, you got to ask some question. That's one thing that kind of just is my little pet peeve, I guess, what I'm going to say from my interviewing side of the question is if no one comes in prepared to ask me about anything or even wants to know about the company, the culture, you know, the dynamic, the team dynamic. It's like, okay, you know, you're just going through the motions, right? It's that whole rubber stamp process again, and that just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, ultimately what I, you know, and I'll repeat it because I believe that to our audience, that should be very important to know, right? It's really two questions, right? One is, after that person tells you, what would you like to know, right? Yeah, you want to ask about, you know, what is the next step? You know, who else is part of the interview process? Who am I competing? Are there any internal candidates? There's questions that mean a lot, right? You know, that's one of the things that I ask. And the second things that I ask is, you know, what is the most difficult part of the job? I want to know that because it enables me to understand on the strengths and the weaknesses, not strengths, so the areas of development that candidate needs to ensure that they are successful. I know that one of the questions that I asked you when I was going through Data Gravity, it was a question about how would I fail in this job? You know, if you were to hire me, giving me the opportunity to be hired to actually work with you, what things would make me fail? Because obviously I don't want to know. And you were very honest on the things that I needed to do, make sure that I didn't fail, right? Basically, I'm setting up the interview and saying, tell me your expectations.
Yeah, absolutely.
That way I can be aligned with the expectations. But once you've gone through those pair of questions, after I ask you, you know, what do you want to know about the job? The two most important questions is, Mr. Interviewer, and based on our interview, do you have any concerns about the ability of me to do the job? If the answer is yes, the interviewer is going to be explicit about it, right? Basically what you want to make sure is that the interviewer is saying, I think you will be able to be fine to do the job. But here's the problem. That question right there, you can't stop on that question. You have to follow it up with another question. Why do you want to hire me? What did I demonstrate it to you that other candidates didn't? If you're able to go through those two questions and answer the second question, you pretty much can guarantee to know where you're at in the process or whether you made it or not. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, I 100% agree. You know, and I think, you know, it shows a good command of your awareness and, you know, if obviously you're showing that engagement and the interest in the company and in the job and you feel it's a fit for you. I mean, you know, you absolutely should understand that, right? Because, you know, part of the expectation, obviously, if you do take the job and you are the candidate of choice, you know, you're gonna have to succeed in it. So understanding kind of how they're looking about it, what the success criteria is and really kind of having that defined up front, you know, helps, you know, solve some interesting conversations or, you know, maybe challenging conversations you have shortly after starting. So, I mean, whatever you can get on the table and playing field and have a good understanding, clear basis, I mean, I'm all for it. And, you know, I think it's a very, very refreshing view of the world that you're sharing with our audience. And, you know, if I was listening to this podcast, I'd definitely take it to heart. And I think it's something that not everybody does and it's hard to do well, but, you know, practice it. You know, it's that's the other thing. I mean, you know, interview is a muscle skill, right? I mean, yeah, not everybody does it all the time. So sometimes when you're coming back into the market and you need to do it, you know, you got to get somebody to, you know, role play with you, get a mentor, somebody that's willing to kind of give you the manager experience before you go in front of them. You know, because it's just like anything else. If you haven't practiced it, haven't done it, sometimes it doesn't come off the way you expect it to. So, you know, take advantage of that. And that's something I know you do. You reach out to your mentor network. You really kind of went through the cycle saying, hey, look, what am I missing? What do I need to be thinking about? And, you know, that's something I think, you know, as people mature and they understand that and know that they need to do that, you know, it's something that'll help them along the way as well.
I'll tell you my aspiration or my expectations is, since I'm hiring sales engineers across the world right now, I guess I can tell the audience as after this episode cuts, right, and goes live, how many people will be asking me as they're interviewing with me those two questions. There are two questions, right? So I'm basically I'm showing all my cards. These are the two questions that I'm looking for, right?
That's true.
Now,
clearly there's other things. I'm going to put this on the calendar for the recap because I want to know too. It's going to be an interesting science experiment.
So from today on, right, I should be able to count how many interviews I've had and how many people are asking me the two magic questions. So it will be interesting, my friend.
Yeah. And then, you know, the we'll see if the the follow up happens then too after the fact. If they didn't go for the close, you know, how they follow up. Are they gonna still do that form email, or are they gonna be more personable in the close? You know, and one of the things that I've started doing, you know, whether it's a business deal, you know, personal relationship, you know, emails are email, right? And emails are almost throwaway anymore. You know, it's something that I know you do as well, but you know, really, I encourage people to get a set of personal stationery, you know, and it's kind of old school, but drop a snail mail, thank you card in the mail, right? That personal handwritten note just shows that you took the time to handwrite it, find their address, send it to them, think of for the interview. Obviously, still send the email because the email is kind of expected to get in the inbox, but that other one's just that little higher class touch. And when it shows up, you know, it stands out. And then obviously, they have something physically tangible with your name on it. You know, it's going to sit there. And if you put something in that note that just kind of references back to the interview saying, you know, I really appreciate when we talked about X, Y, and Z. And again, this is just another reason why I'm going to excel at this role. You know, it gives them that next reminder, and it shows up a few days later. So, you know, if they're going through 5 or 6 candidates, it's just another reminder to say, hey, look, this guy is high touch, high class. And, they're thinking above, right? Outside the box type of a mentality.
I know personally that you are so good at that. Because I've seen you do it. I've seen you where you've talked to someone and you figure out what their home address is, or you ask through the net, or you ask that person for the home address, and just for them to get that note, it separates you. And it's so easy. Just go, do it online, go to Office Depot, Office Max, whatever, and create a stationery and just, with a little bit, spend, $8 on a very nice pen. And just write a note.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that right there separates you from the masses. So thinking outside the box, my friend. Oh, yeah. Shocking. Shocking. The thinking outside the box is gonna give us the upper hand on the things that we care the most in life, you know? Yeah.
We'll put a referral letter, referral link to a stationery company, so we'll get paid on all these ones that you're gonna get now.
Well, see, clearly since Logitech did not work out for us on the Spotlight Presenter, I guess we can try with a stationery company.
Vistaprint coming soon to you. No.
Well, wrap it up, my friend. Wrap it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, we want people to really just take this episode to heart, realize it's the change of the seasons here. And if you're going through the interview, obviously, yeah, this is just a free advice. And if you're interviewing with Enrique, I expect to hear the deliverable that you went through for the two questions. But yeah, try it. Now, I would say to the audience is try it. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. And you'd be surprised how much it works for you. And so,
and if you need help from us, right? Reach us out to Twitter, reach us out through Facebook, reach us out through our salesburrito.com page. If you need a mentor to say, hey, can you do the sniff test on me on this? Or can you make me audible ready? If I have the time, I will carve 15 minutes out of my time to put you through a mock interview process and kind of, make sure that I'm throwing you curveballs. At the end of the day, I want you to be successful. I want you to be audible ready. But the two questions that I mentioned, super powerful to use them on anything that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is season 2. So we kicked off our new season today, and we'll still be posting these every week on Wednesday on every favorite podcast platform, and also available at salesburrito.com. We really hope you enjoyed the show today. Be sure to subscribe to catch future episodes and follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, or Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.
Wow.
It's a new year.
Have a great
it's a new
day.
Year.
I know. New year.
We hope you enjoy the Sales Burrito Show. To subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.